Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Shaarei. Those who are joining us on Zoom from close, far, and very far, welcome back to learning at Shaarei. So we are learning, as always, the Zecher Nishmas and the Lui Nishmas. Miriam Frod, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah HaShalom. May the Shama merit a Zuchus continuous Aliyah and Zechira the Tova in the merit of the Divrei Torah that we all share together this evening. We continue to thank the Frun family very much for their commitment to the Shir Lezecher Nishmas, their mother, Tizku the Mitzvos, Ulamaisim Tovim. So the past 2 weeks we spoke about Chanukah, so I hope everyone had a meaningful and uplifting Chanukah. Now there is the winter ahead. Of course, Sar Batavius is next week. So we are going to go back to the Sefer. We are talking about the topic. We are on chapter 26, Roman numerals. Our will is to do your will. If you remember, we're speaking about Ritzoneinu La'aso Ritzonecha. Our will is to do your will. So it's so funny because I have not listened to Rabbi Zavlov Shir for a little while. If you notice, I haven't been quoting any new insights from Rabbi Zavlov. That's because when it gets very cold, I stop walking outside and I go on the treadmill. So when I go outside, I get to listen to Shir. Otherwise, I don't have so much time. So it's so funny. I had to drive to Flatbush this morning. So I chose the Shir, and he starts talking about Ritzoneinu La'aso Ritzonecha. I'm like, oh my gosh. I have tens of shirim of his because saved up that I haven't listened to yet. And what the shir that I happened to choose, out of for sure more than 20, 30 maybe, he's talking about Ritzoneinu La'aso Ritzonecha. I said, I can't believe this. This is what we're learning at Shaarei. Mamish, Ritzoneinu La'aso Ritzonecha. So he gave an interesting idea and an interesting chiddush which I'm going to share with you. So I thought it was just some interesting ashkacha that of all the shirim I chose. The whole shir wasn't about that, but he did elucidate upon it. So chapter 26 begins, our will is to do your will. If you remember we spoke about yeast. The Gemara says the yeast prevents us, okay? Thank you, Monkey Sultan, the shir chose me. That's another way of looking at it, actually, you're right. Okay, so, but if you remember, we already spoke about this previously at the end of the last chapter. So we've been talking about Ritzoneinu La'aso Ritzonecha, our will is to do your will, for quite a while now, because the Mechaber, the author, is speaking about this topic at length. So I actually, after I heard Rabbi Zavlov speak about it, and it's mentioned in the Sefer a number of times, numerous times, I went to look up the Gemara, okay? So the Gemara, it's a Gemara from Maseches Brachos, okay? It's a Gemara in Brachos, Yud Zayin Aleph. So I'm going to quote from the Gemara, and you'll hear what the Gemara says about this idea. So what are we talking about? Ritzoneinu, our will, laso ritzonecha, is to do your will. So really, every Jewish neshama, every Jewish soul, even though we do aveiros, even though we do transgress the mitzvos, we don't really want to transgress the mitzvos. What we really want to do is what God wants us to do. So what prevents us? If we all really want to do what God wants us to do, then what prevents us from doing what Hashem wants us to do? So I'm quoting from the Gemara, it's Maseches Brachos, Yud Zayin Aleph, Talmud Bavli, Tractate Brachos, Folio 17a. Okay? Rabbi Alexandri Basar Tzolose, I've said it so many times, Tzolose is prayer in Aramaic. Amar Hachi, Rabbi Alexandri, after he finished the Shemona Esrei prayer, he would say a special supplication. What was the special supplication? Yehi Ratzon Mefanecha Hashem Elokeinu, may it be your will before you, Hashem, our God. Sheta'amdeinu bekeren ora, va'al ta'amideinu bekeren chashecha. You should stand us in a corner of light, illumination, and not stand us in a dark corner. What is that talking about? So the Art School footnote explains as follows. It's talking about Galus. Okay? For Israel, the nation of Israel, dwelling in exile is like standing in a dark corner where it is cramped and the light from the window does not shine. Thus, Rabbi, this is the interpretation of the Maharsha. Thus, Rabbi Alexandri petitions God to shine his light upon Israel even while they are in exile. So please don't make it be as if we're standing in a dark, cramped, narrow corner where we don't perceive your light, when we don't have Torah, when we don't have your light, when we don't have your warmth, we're just shoved into a corner. That's unfortunate. But Allah is but Allah. Well, Galus is like, I don't know why I said that. So Rabbi Alexandri, after he would finish his Shemona Esrei, you know, at the end of Shemona Esrei, we add in a supplication. This was his supplication. He wrestled with Fanech Hashem, Al-Kadisha Ta'amidenu Bekeren Ora, Al-Tam Denu Bekeren Chashecha. Please stand us in a corner of illumination and light, or, and do not stand us in a corner of darkness. Al Yidva Libenu. Let our hearts not worry. Let our hearts not be pained. Let our eyes not be darkened. From the word choshech. Okay, so that was the tefillah of Rabbi Alexandri. Now, it's a relevant tefillah, something we should probably all have in mind. Please stand us in a room full of illumination, of your countenance, of your Torah, of your revealed hashgacha pratis. Don't stand us in a dark corner. Exiles, rachman al-islam, bad enough. Please let us perceive that you are always with us. And then the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, Ika de Amrei, however, there are those who say, Ha Rav Hamnuna mitzaleila. That was the tefillah of Rav Hamnuna, not Rabbi Alexandri, and Rabbi Alexandri had a different tefillah. Okay, so this is according to some. According to some, that was the tefillah of Rav Hamnuna, and this is the tefillah of Rabbi Alexandri. Rabbi Alexandri basar dimitzalei amar hachi. So there are those who say that Rabbi Alexandri, when he finished praying the Shemana Esrei, he said something else. Oh, here we go. Ribon ha'olamim, master of the world. Galui v'yadua lefanecha. It is revealed and known before you. Sh'aritzoneinu la'asot ritzonecha. Our will, the will of every Jewish soul, is to do your will. What does Rashi say? Umi ma'akev, what holds us back? If you want to do God's will, what's the problem? So just do God's will. Well, we know it's not so simple. God says don't talk Lashon Hara, but sometimes I do talk Lashon Hara. Hashem says have emuna, sometimes I'm miktane emuna. Hashem says, don't eat basar b'chalav. Sometimes a yid eats basar b'chalav. Don't eat milk of meat, and sometimes a Jew eats milk of meat. So if my will is to do his will, what's the problem? Why don't I just do his will? Umi ma'akev, the Gemara says. So Rashi on the Gemara says, Umi ma'akev, she'ein anu osim ritzonecha. Taka, the reality is even though we want to do your will, ein anu osim ritzonecha. Lamaisa, sometimes we don't do your will. Why not? So two elements prevent us from doing your will. The first is se'or shaba'isa, the yeast in the dough. Anyone remembers from 3 weeks ago, because for the past 2 weeks we've spoken about Chanukah in Yoni Dioma, but before that we spoke about yeast in the dough. You could go find it on YouTube. Remember, we don't put honey or leaven on the Mizbeach, but we put salt. If you remember, why were we talking about that? Because our author in our Sefer quotes this Gemara exactly on page 265 of the Sefer. So we're up to page 265 of the second Sefer, and Imamus quotes his teaching. So the first thing that holds us back from doing the will of God is Sa'ar Shaba'isa, the yeast in the dough. What does that mean, the yeast in the dough? So Rashi on the Gemara says, what is Taka Sa'ar Shaba'isa? What's the yeast in the dough? Yetzer Hara. It's a euphemism. It's a metaphor. It's a code name for the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination. Shabil Vavenu. It's the evil inclination in our heart. Hamach Mitzenu. Causes us to become chametz. Hamach mitzenu, from the word chametz. Mitzvah baliyadcha al tach mitzenu. Shmarta mesa matzos. Hamar Rabbi Yoshi al tukri matzos ala mitzvos. Baliyadcha al tach mitzenu. Parshas bo. I think it's at the end of Perik Yud Beis. Not Yud Gimel, Yud Beis. So Rashi on the Gemara says, why is Esau, the yeast in the dough, the leaven in the dough, a metaphor for the Yetzer Hara? Because, says Rashi, it's the Yetzer Hara shebil vavenu hamach mitzenu. Just like yeast causes the dough to rise, so too our Yetzer Hara causes us to rise. When a person becomes a Baal Gaiva, that's when you start sinning. I know better than God. I know better than my neighbor. I did it right and she did it wrong. I did it correct and the children are wrong. I did it right and my spouse is wrong. What happens is we start to become elevated with a sense of self, just like dough becomes elevated with a sense of self, so to speak. And so that is one idea that holds us back, and that's what our author actually quotes on page 265 in the second paragraph exactly. But the Gemara gives another reason. Hello. Okay. The Gemara gives another reason as to why we don't do the will of God. What's another reason we don't do the will of God? The Shibun Malchios. How would we translate Shibun Malchios? The enslavement to foreign powers. That's how we would typically translate Shibun Malchios. Enslavement to foreign powers. Our school's translation is our subjugation to foreign regimes. Lamaisa, we're in Galus. Okay, so we are subjugated to Babel, and then Parsha Madai, and then Yavan, and now Golus Romi, and wherever we sojourn, we do not have sovereignty. This is not the Jewish Commonwealth. We are subjugated to Shibun Malchios. Shibun from the word Avadim, Avadim Hayinu, Malchios, the kings. Our school footnote says, these two impediments, yeast in the dough, and enslavement to foreign kingdoms, hinder the performance of two types. I'm going to finish the Gemara here, and then I'm going to tell you Rabbi Zavleb's pshat was. Okay, these two impediments. It's not normal. It's the shir I chose. I must have over 30 shir in Rabbi Zavleb because I haven't walked outside for a while. Because when it gets very cold, I prefer not to. I just prefer to go inside. I don't know. It's so random. It's the shir that I chose on the way to Flatbush. I had time, and it's funny, no? Or like Malki Soldan said, the shir chose me. I knew what I was going to be teaching tonight. I know what we're up to in the Sefer. It's so strange. These two impediments, okay, hinder the performance of two types of commandments. The positive, I don't like translating it, even though even art school says positive commandments and negative commandments. I really don't like those words so much. All mitzvahs are positive. I just personally, it doesn't sit well with me. Mitzvahs asay are thou shalt perform, and lo tasay is thou shalt not perform. Saying one is positive and one is negative gives a connotation that there are negative mitzvos. There are no negative mitzvos. I don't know. That's how it's become translated. Anyway, even art school says it. Okay, so there's two types of mitzvos. Mitzvos asay, thou shalt perform. Mitzvos lo saasay, thou shalt not perform. The yeast in the dough, which we already saw that Rashi zukt Rashi, this is the Yetzer Hara, that's the evil inclination, causes a person to transgress the lo taasay, such as stealing, lo tignov, immorality, lo tinaf. So the yeast causes us, the yeast in the dough, which is the Yetzer Hara, causes us to transgress mitzvahs lo ta'asei. Our subjection to foreign regimes, which is what we call Shibun Malchus, prevents a person from performing positive commandments. Why? Makes sense. Think of communist Russia. Think of Yavan. We just came out of Hanukkah. Monday, Yom Sheni was the eighth day, Zos Hanukkah. So, Shibun Malchus, when you're subjugated to a foreign regime, Rachmana Litzlan, very often in Gaulus, Klai Yisrael is unable to perform the mitzvos. Prevents a person from performing positive commandments, mitzvos ase, such as Shabbos observance, tefillin, bris milah, because these despotic governments, which ties in exactly to Hanukkah, legislate against mitzvos ase, shatzer Shabbos, donning of tefillin. They don't care about the lo tasei. They're happy if you've transgressed the lo tasei. Lo tinaf, don't commit adultery. Throw it out the window, said ancient Greeks. Do whatever makes your body feel good and feel happy. But what the foreign regimes, the Shibun Malchus, work against is the mitzvos ase, and the yeast in the dough, and the yeast in the dough, i.e. the Yetzer Hara, wants us to transgress the lo ta'asei. Thus, Rabbi Alexandru prayed that both types of impediments should be removed. Okay? That is from the teaching from the Maharsha as well. So now let's go back to the tefillah, which our Sefer is really focusing on for quite a number of pages already, and chapters. The whole chapter is called, by the way, Our Will is to Do Your Will, which is right from the Gemara Brachos Yod Zayin Aleph. Okay, so here we go. Rabbi Alexandru used to say, Ribon Ha'olami, Master of the Worlds, Galei V'edua L'fanech, it is revealed and known before you, Sh'ritzoneinu L'asho Ritzoncha. Our Will is to Do Your Will, Ritzonecha. Umi Ma'akev, who holds us back? It doesn't say what holds us back, by the way. It says Umi. Who holds us back? So one is the Yetzer Hara, it's an entity. And the other, Shibun Malchus, foreign governments. Those are who hold us back. I just thought that that's interesting. It's not Uma Ma'akev, rather Mi Ma'akev. So Arsha Ba'isa, the yeast in the dough, we already explained it according to Rashi, the Marasha, the Shibun Malchus, and the enslavement of foreign governments. And therefore, Yehi Ratzon Milfanecha, continues Rabbi Alexandri in the Gemara here, it should be your will before you, Shetatzideinu Miyadam, you should save us from their hands, V'nashuv La'aso Chukei Ritzoncha Belev of Shalem. We should repent, V'nashuv, Teshuvah. We should repent to do the mitzvos of your will with a full heart, with a complete heart. So what did Rabbi Zavlov say? He gave a very interesting pshat. Rabbi Zavlov said something different, and he said as follows. He distinguished between the yeast in the dough, which is an inner Yetzer Hara, and then the Shibun Malchus. He gave a very unique pshat, a very unique interpretation for enslavement to foreign governments, which is not the simple understanding of the text of the Gemara. The Yetzer Hara, said Rabbi Zavlov, the Sa'ar Shava'isa, the yeast in the dough, is those inborn drives and desires we are all born with. So for example, the sexual drive is something every human being is born with. It's a natural inclination within a person. If a person uses it for a mitzvah, says Rabbi Zavlov, it's kadosh, it's kedushin. He said that. He said marriage is called kedushin. It's holy, it's sanctity, it's set aside. If a person uses it the other way, it's not kodosh, it's debased, it's immoral, it's usher from the Torah. So Sa'arsha Ba'isa, yeast in the dough, represents the natural inclination a person is born with. The Yetzer Hara rises up against that natural inclination to make you use it. Hashem gave you that inclination. The Yetzer Hara's tafkid is to rise up within you to pull you away from the proper path, to tell you not to use it for the good. So for example, a person has, I'm talking about in normal situations here, there's a normal desire for a person to speak. So it's another good example. You have a desire to speak. We all have a desire to speak. I'm not talking about any Yotzei Min HaKlal situations, okay? That's not a shayach here. I know every klal has a Yotzei Min HaKlal, but we're talking about in general. A human being is born with a desire to speak. Language goes back to the beginning of time. From the moment of creation, man is a speaking spirit. So we all have a desire, innate desire to speak. That's neutral. Speaking is neutral. Marital relations is neutral. How do you channel it? Do you channel for a mitzvah and listen to your Yetzer Tov, or do you channel for a veira? And that's the Sa'arsha Be'isa. So when it comes to speech, you could use it positively, or you could use it negatively. It's the Yetzer Hara who says to use to make fun of people, to talk nifl peh, crass, inappropriate, unsanua words, to insult people, to denigrate Torah, chas v'shalom. So Sa'arsha Ba'isa is the natural inclinations that come inside a man. You're born with these drives and desires. Eating. By the way, you're not going to believe, but the Mechaber, our author, is going to go back to eating on the next page. So he's talking about our wills to do Yerva for a while, and he's also talking about eating for a while. Eating is one of the most basic human functions. Everyone has a desire to eat. You could either eat with the Yetzer Tov, or you could eat with the Yetzer Ra. You could eat kosher or not kosher. You could eat yayin kosher or yayin nechri, you could drink. You could eat tofu cheese pie for dessert or real cheesecake for dessert after steak. So how do you channel it? That's Sa'arsha Be'isa, the Yetzer Hara, that prevents us from doing your will. The Yetzer Hara works against the natural inclinations and drives of man. We've given multiple examples. Marital relations, speech, and eating. Those are all three very basic, innate human drives, and oh my gosh, that's amazing. I didn't do it on purpose. I promise. I literally did not do it on purpose. Malki Sultan, the examples chose me. It all ties back to my Sibaratius. That's crazy. When Isha was created, I think it's Perek Beis, Pasuk Chav Gimel, Chav Dalet, Al kein yazov ish asaviva esimo vidavak beishto vahayu lebasar achad. The first thing you know about Adam and Isha is that they had relations. The next thing you know about Isha is that she spoke to the Nachash. The next thing you know about Isha is that she ate from the fruit. I promise, midrash shekhet terchak. Remember the song, never tell a lie. Hashem knows what you're thinking. There's no reason to deny. Honesty is emes. Make sure all your words are true. So tati mami, and Hashem will be so proud of you. Is it 613 Tara Avenue or a Midos machine? Things you learn in song, you never forget. That's like based on scientific studies, not Michal saying that. Okay, that's very cool. I promise. I did not choose those examples on purpose. But they all go back to my Sibaratius. Man is born. They chose me. It was not deliberate, or I would have just told you. Let's go back to my Sibaratius and see what the three drives are. So you see that we're born with innate drives. We're born with a drive for a husband and wife to cling to each other. We're born with a drive to speak, and we're born with a drive to eat. So Sa'arsha Ba'isa, it goes back to my Sibaratius. Those are the three most basic human drives and desires. How do you know? Because look at my creation. That's the first three things you know about this new couple. They have relations. She talks to the Nachash. They eat. They eat Sadas. So the kasha is, how do you channel? The yeast in the dough is the Yetzer, or the evil inclination. It works against those natural inclinations. That's yeast in the dough. Rabbi Zavlov says, what is Shibun Malchios then? Shibun Malchios is the second category that prevents us from doing your will. The Gemara says, Ritzoneinu Latzo Ritzonecha, Umi Me'akev, who holds us back? Shibun Malchios. What is Shibun Malchios? So we already said that the basic interpretation is, like right now, we're living in Galus. We don't have autonomy. I mean, Baruch Hashem, Moshe coined the term Medina Shel Chesed, etc. But Lamaisa, we don't have autonomy to make our own decisions, to run the country how we want. It's not a Jewish commonwealth. So what holds us back is Shibur Malchios. Good evening. What holds us back is Shibur Malchios. And like we said, according to the Maharsha, the Shibur Malchus want to prevent us from performing the thou shalt perform mitzvos, and the Sa'arsha Be'isha, the Yisna Nado, wants to hold us back from performing thou shalt not do mitzvos. So the kasha is, what's Rabbi Zavlev's pshat of Shibur Malchus? And he gave a very novel interpretation. If the Yetzer Hara is those mitzvos which, or averos, I should say, which stem from a person's natural tendencies, what is Shibur Malchus? Shibur Malchus is those aspects of desire that come from the external. So eating, marital relations, speaking, that's internal desire. You're just born with those. Whether you like it or not, you're born with them. Shibur Malchus does not represent communist Russia and Hellenistic Greece. It represents the Yetzer Hara that's external in the societies in which we live. So he gave an example. I've heard him give this example before. He related at this time to Shibur Malchus of Ritzonei Laso Ritzonecha. For example, he says, no one is born with an innate drive or desire, this is Rabbi Zavlev said, to pay $200, I was laughing, because it's not $200, it's probably $500 or $750 or $1,000 for a designer name. No one is born with an innate desire to pay $200, that's his amount, for torn, washed out, ripped jeans. You're not born with that desire. You're born with a desire to eat. You're born with a desire to speak. You're born with a desire to cling to the spouse, but you're not born with a desire. By the way, he did not give those three examples. I'm just giving them to help us illustrate a point. You're not born with a desire to pay $200 to buy torn jeans. He said, why not? Because you could go to the Salvation Army and you could get them for free. So why would anybody, and it's not $200 for designer label. Okay, that ship sailed decades ago. So why would anyone pay $200 for torn jeans or $1,000? They're ripped. Go to Salvation Army. Go to the garbage bin behind, I don't know, the town hall and take out torn jeans. Why would you pay money for this? That's Shibur Malchus. Shibur Malchus does not, according to this pshat, is a different kind of Yetzer Hara. It's also a Yetzer Hara, but it's a Yetzer Hara of foreign oppression, and it's an external Yetzer Hara. So if you took a person who knew nothing about society, and you put them in this world, and you showed them these torn jeans, and you say, do you have a desire to wear these jeans? They know nothing about society. They never opened a non-Jewish magazine and read about what the Hollywood stars are wearing. They have no idea. They just landed here, and it's cold outside because it's winter, and you show them this pair of jeans, and they say, would you like to wear these jeans? So what are they, innately, would you say, do you want to eat? A human being, they'll say, yeah, I want to eat. I have a biological drive for food. Would you like to wear these jeans? No, I don't want to wear these jeans. It's freezing cold. Why would I want to be half naked on my legs? I want a pair of sweatpants with leggings underneath and warm socks. Oh, but then you start reading what's in People magazine, and then you start watching the movies, and then you start looking at what's going on Facebook, or I don't know wherever they post, Twitter, and I don't know even know where they post. And then you say, oh, you know, I really like those jeans. I think I want those jeans. That is not Sa'arsha Be'isa. Remember, by Sa'arsha Be'isa Rashi says, Yetzer Harsha Bil Vavenu. Yeast in the dough is the Yetzer of our heart. So you have an inclination to eat. So the Yetzer Hara might say, okay, so eat 8 donuts on Chanukah, not one. The Yetzer Hara might say, eat real cheesecake after dessert instead of parv cheese pie. It's in your heart because you're born with an inclination to eat. But Shibur Malchus means the Yetzer Hara that comes from living amongst the nations of the world. No one is born with these drives, but we learn these drives from the societies in which we live. Example being torn jeans. Okay, so I thought that was extremely interesting and a very nice way of understanding Ritzoneinu Laso Ritzonecha. Our will is to do your will, but two things hold us back. One is the yeast in the dough, the evil inclination. The other, Shibur Malchus, subjugation to foreign dominion. We've explained it in two different ways, according to the Maharsha and with Rashi on the Gemara, and also according to Rabbi Zavlev, who gives a slightly different, not slightly, a very different interpretation. So there's really two different Yetzer Haras. One is the internal, and the other is the external as a product of living in a society where there are certain norms that naturally you would never want to do those things. Okay. So that's really the end of the Gemara that relates to our learning. But it's interesting because when I looked it up, I found it very interesting what comes right after. The tefillos that the Gemara lists that come right after our will is to do your will. So I'm going to continue a little bit, and these words are going to be very familiar to you. Rava basar tzilose amar hachi. When Rava finished his Shmona Esrei prayer, what did he say? Elokai. These words are going to be very familiar. My God, ad shalom notzarti eini kidai. Until I was created, I'm not worthy. And now that I'm created, it's as if I was never created. I am dust in my life. How much more so if I'm dust in my life? How much more so in my death? Behold, I am like a vessel. That's exactly right, Malki Sultan. That's exactly right. Behold, I stand before you like a vessel full of shame and humiliation. May it be your will before you, Hashem. Did you ever know? Okay, my unlearned self. I did not know when we conclude on Yom Kippur Shema Esrei. I didn't know where it came from. But here it is. It should be your will, Hashem, your God, that I not sin anymore. But what I did sin before you, you should erase with your great mercy. But not through suffering and illness. And this was the confessional prayer of Rav Hamnuna Zuti on Yom Kippur. And this is what we recite, should be very familiar, at the conclusion of the Al Chet on Yom Kippur. Before we conclude the Shemona Esrei, why did the Shemona Esrei? We say this tefillah. So here it is. Before I was created, I'm not worthy. Now that I have been fashioned, it's like I'm not fashioned. I'm dust in my life, how much more so my death? Behold, I'm like a vessel filled with shame and humiliation before you. Let it be your will, Hashem, your God, that I shouldn't sin anymore. What I have sinned, you should erase with your great mercy, but not through suffering and bad illness. Okay? I thought that was interesting. And this is what Rav Hamnuna Zuti used to say on Yom Kippur as his vidui. Okay, and we today say it at the end of our vidui. One more tefillah, and this is not reserved for Yom Kippur. This should be very familiar to you as well. Ma bere de Ravina ki hava misayim tzalose. When Mar, the son of Ravina, completed his Shemona Esrei prayer, what did he used to say? Amar hachi. I can't hear.
It's like, isn't it?
I can't hear. What's Nusach Sfar? Nusach Ashkenaz doesn't say that in Yom Kippur, what I just read?
No, I don't know about Yom Kippur, but I think...
This is Yom Kippur.
Right, I know, but I think it seems to me like it sounds like... I don't know
where... That's the end of Yom Kippur Vidui.
Right.
I don't know Sfar Ashkenaz, that's the end of Yom Kippur Vidui. Okay. When Mar, the son of Ravina, completed his Shemona Esrei prayer, Amar Hachi, he used to say... Elokai nitzor l'shoni meira, my God, guard my tongue from evil, usfasai medaber mirma, and my lips from speaking deceit. Our school footnote points out, this refers to, Elokai nitzor l'shoni meira, these are words we say every single day, Elokai nitzor l'shoni meira refers to words of complete evil, where the utterance and the intention are evil. So Elokai nitzor l'shoni meira, my God, guard my tongue from evil, refers to when our words are evil and our intent is evil. Visif sosai medaber mirma, guard my lips from deceit. This refers to the utterance appears good, but the speaker's intent is evil. So nitzar lashoni meira, lashon ra, is when your intention is bad, you mean to insult somebody, and the words are bad. You have bad intention and bad words. Svasai, my lips, medaber mirma, from speaking deceit. What's deceit? Your intention is evil, but you're deceitful. Your intention is evil, but your words look to be
kind,
good, nice, understanding. But really, your intention is evil. We ask Hashem to guard us from both of those. V'nafshi ka'afar l'kol tehiyah. My soul should be like dust to everyone. So, footnote. Our scroll, just as dust, what does it mean that our soul should be like dust? Just, we say this every day in Shemona Esrei, right at the end. Just as dust can never be destroyed, so may my progeny never be extinguished. Alternatively, may I be as insignificant as dust in the eyes of others, so it does not occur to them to curse me. Okay? If you're like dust, then people won't curse you because you're insignificant as dust. I always think when I say nafshi kafra l'kolti, even though interestingly the art school photo doesn't talk about it here, I always think it's a request for a nivus. Humility. Yeah, that's what you're saying also. So a couple of people are maxed, and yes, a number of people are saying, yes, that's what I always think. When I see Vinafshi Kafra the called here, I think to myself, you should consider yourself and let others see you as insignificant as dust. It was just his yahrzeit last year, Mishon Chafdalit Kislev, Erev Chanukah. Rav Aaron Leibsteinman once came to America. I mean, I've told the story over many times. I went, well, not many, but quite a number. And when he came back, he was going up to his apartment, and one of the neighbors saw him. They said, how's the trip to America? So he was terrible. They tried to feed me chazar. So the neighbor says, he couldn't imagine someone actually tried to feed Rav Aaron Leibsteinman chazar, treif, pig, pork. So they said, who tried to feed the Rosh Hashiva chazar? So as everywhere I went, they tried to give me kavod. They tried to give me chazar. Everywhere I went, they tried to give me honor. It was like they were feeding me pig. So that's personally what I think when I say, no, lahavdel of alfei avdalos. I'm just saying, using an example. Nafshi kafra lo kol tia, may let my soul be like das. Psachli bi besar sacha. The Gemara continues. I'm quoting from the Gemara, not my sitter. Okay? We're still in Brachos Yud Zayin Aleph. Psachli bi besar sacha. Open my heart in your Torah. Uve mitzvos sacha tirdof nafshi. And after your mitzvos, let my soul run. V'satzileini mi pegara. And save me from evil mishap, mi yetzer hara, from evil inclination. We don't say the next words, at least not to my knowledge. Ume isha ra'a, from an evil woman. And this is referring, of course, to the, we're not talking about like chas v'shalom, you know, like a fairy tale, God forbid, the wicked witch. No, we're talking about the evil inclination that could cause a person to go astray. Think of Yosef and Eishes Potiphar. These parashios are all about Yosef and his life. Me'ishara, think about Eishes Potiphar. Continues the tefillah, umikol ra'os hamisrakshos levola ba'olam, and all evil occurrences that happen to come in the world. V'chol ha'choshrim alai ra'a, and all those who think bad against me, mehera hafer atzatzam, quickly turn over. Hafer atzatzam, nullify, negate, turn over their counsel, the kalkal machshavosam, and bring a curse to their thoughts. So in other words, anyone who thinks bad against me, overturn their evil intentions. Yihyu l'ratzon imre fi, v'hegan libi l'fanecha, Hashem tzuri, v'gol yihyu l'ratzon, it should be appealing before you, imre fi, the words of my mouth, v'hegan libi, the contemplation of my heart, because tefillah is not only about what we say with our lips, tefillah is also what we think and feel in our hearts. You could go mechanically through all the motions of tefillah. You could be reciting the tefillahs, but you need to have kavana, you need to have intention, the hegyon libi. Hashem desires the heart. The contemplation and thoughts of the heart need to be before Hashem. Hashem tzuri v'gali. Hashem is my rock and my redeemer. So I thought this was extremely interesting because aside for a few minor changes, this is still what we say today. But going back for a minute to the first tefillah that we started, let me just finish the Gemara, please. The first tefillah was, remember, we went through a number of tefillahs here from the Gemara. One is, don't stand me in a corner of darkness, stand me in a corner of light, and do not let our heart worry, and do not let our eyes be dark. The second tefillah, which we spent much more time on, because we saw Rashi, the Maharsha, and Rabbi Zevlov, it was a tefillah. It was the tefillah of Rabbi Alexandri after Shmona Esrei. Ribon ha'olamim galui v'idu l'fanecha, sh'ritzoninu l'asor ritzonecha. Master of the world, it is revealed and known before you, our will is to do your will. Who holds us back? The yeast and the dough. So this was actually a tefillah that was recited by Rabbi Alexandri after his Shmona Esrei. As he was preparing to leave the presence of God, so to speak, in his tefillah, he uttered a prayer. He's going out into the day. He's going out into the fields. He's going out to the base medrash. He's going to the workforce. And he's going out to interact with people. He's leaving the dalat amos of tefillah, of prayer. He's leaving Shuvisi Hashem the Nagdis. I mean, I know Hashem is before you always. I mean, in terms of the formal structure of prayer. So what was his tefillah? Not what we say today, but his tefillah was, I'm leaving your environment, Hashem. Therefore, it is known and revealed before you that I really want to do your will. Who holds us back? The yeast and the dough and subjugation to foreign government, as we've explained. May it be your will before you. You should save me from their hands, and we should repent to do your mitzvahs with a complete heart. And then we did two more tefillos that were recited, one on Yom Kippur by Rava. Elohai, oh, sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Adshalon otzarti eini kedai, v'achshav shon otzarti kilu no otzarti. And that's what we say on Yom Kippur. And finally, we looked at the tefillah with which we conclude our Shmona Esrei today, which is extremely interesting. Yes, you had a question.
No, I just wanted to add that what I was thinking of really was that the Elohai that we say every day, but the Nusach Sfard says Meishra Mechavera.
The Nusach Sfard says?
Mechavera.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think you're thinking of Birkas HaShachar in the beginning of davening.
Yeah.
V'hi Ratzon after the Brachos, Birkas HaShachar. This is from the end of Shemona Esrei. There's a few differences. There's a few differences from the Gemara. Lamaise, it is recited every day. It is recited every day.
It is very specific.
Okay? It's recited every day. So now let's go back to our chapter. The chapter is called Our Will is to Do Your Will. Okay? I'm just going to read through this first page. We've gone through it because we spoke about Karbanos and Vayikra, and now we can't have Devash or Chametz Lavin on the Mizbeach. So I just want to get through this page, and then we're going to get to the next page, okay? The chapter is called Ritzoneinu Laso Ritzonecha, which we just spent the whole first part of class on. Our will is to do your will. We explained at the end of the previous chapter, says the author, that the human personality consists of three levels or layers. The divine aspect deep in the soul, which is Hashem's will. The inner personal neshama of the individual, of which it says, our will is to do your will. Footnote, Brachos 17a in our Sefer, which is where we just went. And the third most exposed part says, what can we do? The leavening in the dough prevents us, which is also the quote from the Gemara, referring to the most external part of self that wants the opposite of Hashem's will. Fine, we did this already in depth. We have seen that the level of unconditional love is based on Hashem, Ktisha Brichu, Araisa Yisrael Chadhu. God, Torah, and the nation of Israel are one entity. One can only reach this level when accessing the deeper part of the neshama, and so you have to get deep into your neshama, and you have to find the agreement of our will and your will. There has to be agreement between Ritzoneinu, our will, and Ritzoncha, your will. But as long as the leavening, i.e. the Yetzer Hara, because we saw Rashi and the Gemara explains that the leavening is the Yetzer Hara, interferes, even if one avoids Averos through the force of intellect. So even if you use your intellect and you say, no, I'm not going to talk Lashon Hara, I'm not. So this just happened 2 nights ago to me. Mamish, it happened. I'm much more aware. I teach a class in Shemir Salashon every other Monday morning. It's not one of my most popular classes, and I think that's because, in general, it makes us uncomfortable. We don't love to necessarily learn about the topic. But whatever, something happened in the house. Nothing bad. It was something with my Yetzer Hara that I wanted to say something that didn't need to be said. And the box that precipitated my feelings was sitting in the front hallway. So it's looking at me. I said, Micha, I'm not going to say. I'm going to go upstairs. I'm not going to say one word to my husband. Maybe I won't be able to resist the next day and the next day and the next day. But tonight, it wasn't anything bad. It wasn't anything chas v'shalom atzias. It was just my Yetzer Hara. I said, I'm not going to say anything. It's very hard. It's very, very hard. We have a natural desire to talk, and we have our will, and we have the Isa. So I really don't want to say it. Mima akev, what holds us back? So Arsha Isa, the leavening of the dough, says Rashi, Yetzer Harsha Bilvavenu, Machmitzenu, the Yetzer in our hearts makes us into Chametz. And that whatever the box was not making me happy, and I really wanted to say something, and had I said it, I would not have been happy, and my husband would have been happy, and I would have been. And I didn't say anything. No, not in a bad way, chas v'shalom, but it wouldn't have been nice. I can't go into detail, right? It would have reflected badly on me, but I still wanted to say very much. Why? Because I have a Yetzer. That's the innate drive to speak. Remember, that's one of the examples we saw by Maaser Bereishis. Innate drive to cling to a spouse, innate drive to speak, innate drive to eat. That's the Sa'arsha Ba'isha. That's not, I want to wear torn jeans. That's because if you wear torn jeans, it's because you watch too many Hollywood movies and read too many fashion magazines and it's in style, so you want to wear torn jeans. You're not born with that, but you're born with a desire to speak. So the kasha is, are you going to chant? And by the way, Baruch Hashem, I did not say anything. Of course, I was much happier the next day that I did not say anything, and it was 2 nights ago, and I still haven't said anything. Hodu Hashem ki tov. I'm not saying it's to give myself an ayin hara. I'm not saying it's who should say, wow, that's amazing. I'm saying it's a teaching tool, because maybe it'll inspire somebody else to not say something, even one time. And if someone doesn't say something one time, that's right, Nancy, think. Is it thoughtful, helpful, intelligent, necessary, and kind? However, when you're in the throes of wanting to say it, it's hard to think about the acronym of think, because all your Yetzer Hara wants is for you to say what you're not supposed to say. So therefore, as long as the leavening, says our author, i.e. the Yetzer Hara, so Arsha Bisa interferes, even if one avoids Averus through the force of intellect, okay? since the desire is still for evil. So you use your machshava to tell yourself intellectually, oh, the Torah says, and the Gemara in Brachos Yud Zayin. The Torah says, no, in Tehillim actually, and Ketuvim, and the Torah says, Lo Seidech V'chil B'Mecha, and the Torah says, I don't know, V'Havas Badam L'Ruach M'Malala. So you start to go through all the sources in the Chumash that tell you, but you being a speaking spirit, and you should speak positively. So even if you avoid a verse through the force of the intellect, since the desire is still for evil, in other words, you haven't gotten rid of it in your heart, your heart still wants it. There is no manifestation of our will is to do your will. You understand? So, but don't misunderstand. For someone on my level, okay, so even though my heart still wanted to say it, it's Maya that I didn't say. It would have been worse to say it, just because it wasn't insulting anybody. It would have been a bad reflection of myself. I can't go into detail, whatever. That if you have the desire in your heart for evil, that's not ritzoneinu laso ritzonecha. Do you understand? I still have a ratzon. What's my ratzon? To talk about that box. That's not God's ratzon. God's ratzon is I shouldn't talk about the box. So yes, I overcame through intellectual reasoning, but I still had a separate ratzon from Hashem. A gadol would never want to say so. But even I wanted to, it wasn't nivol peh, it wasn't anything like that. It wasn't anything on tznius, it wasn't anything about that. A gadol would never even want to do that. Why not? Because they only have one will. The will is to do the will of the Creator. But Micha Haaretz, who has her will, and then remembers intellectually God's will, manages to hold back. So don't think that's not, if that's the level you're on, so we're in company together, and at least you didn't say it, Baruch Hashem. At least I held back. But I still deeply had a ratzon to say it. It was hard for me. It was very hard. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it. Micha, just keep your mouth shut. Don't say it. Baruch Hashem, I didn't say it, but I still had a ratzon to say it. Do you understand? You could apply this to anything in your life. Maybe you can relate, maybe you can't relate. Maybe you're not on that level. Maybe you don't have that, not being facetious. Maybe you don't have that desire. Okay, so you're in a better place. For me, it was very hard. It was an Isayon. But if you still have the manifestation of your desire for evil, then there's no manifestation of Ritzoneinu Laso Ritzonecha. He's repeating this for pages and pages and very much focusing on this obviously very important topic, which is to do the will of Hashem. And then, quote, one cannot bond with the Creator. So I don't know if I want to be so pessimistic. I hope through the avoda of holding back, for someone who is on a lower level of the Hamonam, that when you are able to hold back, I hope that causes a bond with the Creator. I'm sure Hashem has nachas from every time we don't say something forbidden. Even if I have a yetzer inside of me, it's at least better to not say it. Because through not saying it, you work on making your will God's will. You understand, at least up here, what Hashem wants from me. Someone who just says whatever they want, they're not even thinking of what's God's will. At least we're on the Madrega, hopefully, where we're thinking what is Ratzon Hashem. Sometimes I'm going to fail. Sometimes I am going to hate. Actually means to miss your mark. I was just reading it in Rav Avigdor Miller, and Rav Salvechik also speaks about in a different essay. Chet doesn't actually mean sin. Chet is like shooting an arrow and missing the mark. So sometimes I'm still going to do a chet, which means I'll miss the mark. But at least if I have the machshava, tova, and understand what Hashem wants from me, and I hold back because of that, I hope, unlike what the Sefer says, I hope you are bonding with your Creator. Because there are stages and there are levels. Obviously, Rabbitson Kanievsky, Allah al-Shama Tzadekes, a leader of the generation, a leader of the woman of the generation, so she's on a different level. But we have to give chizuk, and we have to understand that if you can hold back, so I hope, as was Hashemah does create a bond to Creator, I think it's amazing that the Malki Sultan, whether I chose that shir, the shir chose me. I couldn't have scripted it better. Azur Hashem, next time you are turning the page, I wish everybody a week of Besuras Tovas, a wonderful Shabbos. I wish you have a lot of Siyata Deshmaya Kol Tov. Thank you so much to all.